Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Bingetown TV and our coverage of HBO Succession. So we just watched the penultimate episode, and I have no idea what it was called. I didn't even think
Church and State.
Church and State. There you go. Thank you, Alex. She's ready to go because she'll be delivering our executive summary. But before we get there, a little classic Bingetown housekeeping. Just reminding you guys, if you've been enjoying what you're listening to and you have not yet subscribed on either YouTube, if you're watching, anything you're listening on, Apple, Spotify, et cetera, please do so. It's just the best way to support us. It's easy, one click. Then you get notified of everything we do. And you can stay in touch with us as obviously Succession is ending, but the podcast itself is not ending. So we will be moving on to other shows in the future. So just stick with us and subscribe. Succession specific feed, small note for you guys, is just we obviously Bingetown TV is a separate whole podcast that does more than just Succession. So pop over to the main feed, you'll get all that info. And also pop over to BingetownTV.com. That's where it's got everything, home of Bingetown, all of our episodes in an easy to find order and organization. All right. Episode 9, fantastic episode, Church and State. And there's no need to muck anything up. We'll just pass the torch over to Alex and her executive summary.
All right. It's sort of poetic that I covered Logan's death episode, executive summary, oh, wow, and now his funeral episode. It's full circle for me. Jeez. Over here. So, yeah, penultimate, as you said, Church and State. But as to be expected, Church and State are anything but separate at the funeral for the maker of lives and livings and things and money, Logan Roy, with all of the Roy children fixated on their own self-interests rather than letting today be just about today. The scheming is at an all-time high before the ceremony even begins. Kendall starts his day embroiled in interpersonal drama on both personal and professional fronts. Roman is all incest jokes and working the room to form the cake beneath his cherry on top, while Shiv spends her time making deals of her own amidst fielding mixed responses to the now apparent baby bump. Amidst the scheming, Greg is seen zooming across the city in tumult on a city bike. Tom is too tied up at ATN to attend, and the old guard serves up standard savage commentary. We then get the most iconic moment of all, Logan's lifetime supply of wifeies and side pieces, unionized and sat front row for the show. In the words of Beyonce, ashes to ashes, dust to side chicks. The actual ceremony starts off with a bang as an impassioned Uncle Ewan forces his way to the podium first to deliver some of that Logan Roy villain origin story that some of us have been looking for. And Ewan paints a bleak yet honest portrait of Logan, one that sits in direct opposition to what the kids want to convey. Roman the showman is on deck, positioned to combat their uncle's harsh words, but instead quickly melts under the spotlight, taking the form of the grim weeper. It would seem that all of his pre-grieving didn't quite take. But who else should rise to the occasion to save the day? None other than the number one son, Kendall Logan Roy, who manages to twist Ewan's harsh truths into a speech that ultimately characterizes Logan's brute force and sheer will as nothing less than aspirational. Shiv then steps up as the closer, delivering a speech that feels more like a goodbye to her dear, dear world of a dad rather than a moment to flex, which, knowing Shiv, is for the best. Over at the petsupply.com discount mausoleum, we see some of that sibling bonding we crave but so rarely get. This is, of course, short-lived as the scheming resumes, with Kendall propositioning Big H to pledge his allegiance to him as the hopeful top dog. Woof, woof, indeed. At the post-funeral luncheon, Kendall also manages to bring Colin in on his newly formed Injustice League. Kendall then moves to schmooze Mencken first, but is swiftly dragged out of this moment, followed by an interjection from Tiny Tears and former presidential candidate Connor. And while the White Devils are working hard, the Red Devil works harder, as Shiv is the sibling who ultimately succeeds in commanding Mencken's full attention, stealing him away for the first sad, sweet, and handsome Nazi face-to-face. While brief, this conversation proves quite fruitful for this duo, as by episode's end, it would seem Mencken's more amenable to partnering with an anarcho-capitalist Parmigiana and his American puppet, rather than forging a CE-bro alliance. Kendall senses his shift and goes full on Roman, repeatedly kicking the man while he's down. This sends Roman to the streets looking for a physical manifestation of the endless ass beating he's endured all day, inevitably getting a bow to the face before calling it a night. It would seem that by all counts, Shiv has emerged victorious and thus the winner of the funeral. But as every succession head knows, when the highs are high, they are fleeting, and the lows that follow seem to plummet deeper each time. Only the series finale can tell us who lands on top. But will it be a Roy boy, Shiv the Shiv, or someone else entirely?
Woo!
Snap.
So good. That was a beast of an episode. Hour 14 clocked in. So good. Every second was so juicy and sexy really and good.
That was one of the first episodes we've ever like kind of texted like a little bit throughout.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was fun.
Yeah. And I'm always so nervous because we don't usually watch it exactly the same time. We may start 10 minutes late or Kyle may start 30 minutes late or something like that. So you don't want to spoil. But this time we really did start around the same time. So like I sent the wolf like 5 minutes after it happened, just in case you paused to go get something. I didn't want to ruin a Hugo moment for you because, you know, that's your boy.
Of course. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I might have even been a little ahead of you guys, but it was just what an episode. Just fantastic television. I mean, this is what we play for. This is what... We'll get into everything, and I guess it's probably not even worth it to start without. We'll just move into favorite moments, and then we'll get to where we want to go so we don't muck up our structure that we've worked so hard to create over these 10 episodes. So favorite moment, does anyone want to go first?
Because
I totally can. I'm going to cheat pretty much, and just Kendall's speech for me, just fantastic. I mean, just sums up why I love Kendall's character so much. Mm-hmm. It's, I mean, and cheating in the sense that like it's kind of stealing almost the whole episode because of it's such an interesting moment in his episode journey. Kendall's story, I feel like, is always everyone's story, I guess, in the show is very episodic in the sense that like you start the episode low and you end it high, or you started high and you end it low, and it just is like that week to week to week. And Kendall was so low, gets put on the spot and just shines like he really only does, it seems like, in these types of moments. And then obviously things change a little bit towards the end of the episode for him. But the speech was just so good. The acting is fucking fantastic. Just the number one boy stepping up. It doesn't get much better from me.
Yeah, I said to Kathleen earlier, it kind of makes me sad for Kieran if he submits for lead actor too. I mean, he's done incredible. And, you know, you pointed out that is, you know, kind of an honor in and of itself to even be able to go into that category. But when you see Jeremy do that shit, when you see Kendall do that shit, you're just like, it's in the bag. It's signed, sealed, delivered. It's already at his house. Like, you know, I'll get to my moments too. But yeah, that stands out to me.
Yeah, but Kieran weeping and freaking out too. They're all so good. And Tom's little moment, he was barely in the episode and still I can go next because I'm not sure I have three...
I have 30. So many too.
So I'm going to do Shiv and Tom just because, again, Tom had very, very limited screen time after having a lot of screen time last episode. And this moment of them after such carnage in the last few episodes, having this moment where Shiv is looking at him and is like, oh fuck. And his breakdown about Logan, that few words. We were crying. We were already crying from Roman, so the tear ducts were for wide open. So I just thought it was excellent. He really used the screen time they gave him and was excellent. And Shiv's warm moment there, which are few and far between, all starting from when Tom goes, fuck me, man, your mom. Like, it's like, even these two who like despise each other in these moments can all agree, like, this mom fucking blows.
Yeah.
And they can bond over it. But damn, that was mine. I have so many. This episode is phenomenal. But yeah, go ahead. You go next.
Well, I know. I agree. Karen's acting out of this world, the whole thing. I mean, they're going to get whatever cast, ensemble, whatever. They are just mopping the floor. And it's just beautiful. It's art. I had you in speech as my Ryan Tyus, because again, I've been thirsty for that Logan origin story. And I think he like says a lot of harsh truths, but he's not entirely shitting on him. He does his Ewan thing, right? Where he's like, I don't agree with this, but he's still my brother. Like, I still claim him. And I think that the writing in all of those eulogies was fucking beautiful. So that stood out to me for sure.
It was very difficult. Like, obviously we're saying we all have a ton of moments, but when he stood up, I was hype. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so good, whatever he says. And yeah, it did not disappoint. Did you guys listen to the official podcast? Yeah. Him on it?
Yeah.
Ewan's actor. Actually, I don't remember what his name is, but he was great on it. He was dropping so many F-bombs too, just like casually. I thought it was hilarious, but it was crazy that he was like, I was dealing with long COVID. Like, I had my short-term memory was shot. So I was like worrying a lot about whether I was going to be able to, you know, remember all of these lines. And then they come and tell me that it's just going to be continuous takes one after another. And he was like, I'm fucked. And then he went up there and it ended up working out. Obviously, it was a great moment in the episode.
Yeah. I mean, them doing the continuous takes thing again, four cameras, it's just incredible. And again, the same exact director. So a lot of through threads here. And I think it's just truly incredible stuff, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love when he was talking about the multiple cameras and saying that one was trained on just reactions, because I noticed it so much, I guess, obviously after, because I watched the after episode and then watched the episode again. Mm-hmm. And it's so wild how much is actually going on in all the pews, but like probably didn't get caught sometimes. Like the Greg looking over to them after Ewan speaks, like Mencken's little smile as Kendall's speaking, yep. You know, Alexander Skarsgård's name is Mattson in the show, and his reaction as well, like a little smirk, like it's all that stuff's going on in the background. Carl's looking at Frank and they're all having moments, and it's just such an interesting thing to think about.
Carl's always smirking. He's a smug bitch. He's cutting to camera. He's like Dwight or something out of The Office is the energy he gave. But it feels like a play almost, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know a better way to describe it, but mm-hmm. capturing all the things that are happening at once. Everything's only happening at the same time.
Yeah. I'm glad you guys picked those two, because those are obviously the acting powerhouses of the episode. That whole spiel of Kieran breaking down into Jeremy Strong into James Cromwell is his name. And yeah, that was really impressive. And that's something we were wanting. That's what we said in our hype up video. We were like, we need the villain origin story, as you said. Happy to have it. Rose has been, the name's been thrown out a lot over the course of the series, and we never knew, and devastating story. It makes sense, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the whips, marks on his back from his aunt and uncle who were characters and not good people, and being blamed for his little sister dying and all the stuff doesn't mean you should be as bad as Logan Roy was, but happy to have the story. It's just beautiful. It's so good. Logan, he was still just such a big character in this episode, especially during this funeral stuff when Roman breaks down and is like, is he in there? And
yeah.
Just like, oh, that was another one of those moments for me. Is he in there? Can we get him out?
Yeah. And especially the way he does his voice, too. It's just like, it was so real. It felt so like I was literally watching like a YouTube video of someone. And they even talk about in the episode how like the video goes viral, which is obviously unfortunate.
Circulating.
Yeah, it's circulating. But yeah, no, that
it's
was
being circulated.
That was unbelievable acting. There were so many great, like, not moments, like things that were happening, but so many good shots, I thought, in this episode. Like, I feel like I really felt myself being like, whoa, that is such a great, yeah. like, powerful shot. Like, when they're all in the limo and you get the first shot, it's just pure silence. And it's just Kendall's a little blurry moping in the back. And Shiv is looking out the one window. Roman's looking out the other. I was like, oh, this is a great shot. And then all three of them, their reaction to Ewan's speech, like another great shot. Like, it was just, there was a lot of that where I was like, oh my God, this is so, fucking love this show.
Yeah, we get another amazing backdrop, right? We always talk about when they go on set, whatever, to Italy and Sweden and this and that. But this is in their home fronts in New York still, but gorgeous. This is where like real life, really big people have their funerals. And so it's nice that Logan got a send off. That was, what did they call it? Whatever the phrase is on the episode he dies. Yeah. Like a Reagan dude wedding.
Reagan with tweaks.
Reagan with tweaks. Yeah, sorry.
No, that was a good callback. That was a good way to remember that. Exactly. Yeah. And also funny thing, when you were saying like Logan was a character in this episode, reading that Brian Cox like insisted that he was on set those days so that like there wasn't any spoilers in the sense that like he wasn't there. Like there was paparazzi pictures of him at the church like before the season, so it wasn't like spoiling that he wasn't there.
So if it was a funeral, no one knew who it was because he was on set. That's incredible. Exactly. I didn't read that. Love that.
He earned his paycheck.
Yeah.
Right. Well, hey man, good for him. Honestly, whatever they paid him, it was worth it to keep the spoilers out. So all right, we can move now into favorite quotes. Now, there's a lot. So I went first with moment. So I'm gonna be the coward. And as you guys both point at each other to try to go next.
Okay, so I'm going to say, if it wasn't such a total fucking disaster, it would be a dream come true.
That's a good one.
Again, my moment was Tom. My quote was Tom. He really did a lot. But man, it's just a little piece of humor and like an episode that's really intense and good. And they're just laughing at a situation that's really bleak. So a good one by Tom. I have more, but going to let you guys go and then we'll rapid fire them.
That's what I get for letting you go first.
Yeah. Was that yours?
Yeah. I mean, that's my number one. It just was like the right like punchline type thing in this very otherwise sad episode. The levity was there with Tom, of course, but they're more like partial quotes, but it was the moments of each. So like when Kendall is laying into Roman, like unexpectedly, and he's like, well, that's because he fucked it. Thought your dad tried to dad it, fucked it. I was like, he is literally like, I'm having flashbacks to his birthday and Roman just fucking kicking him. And I'm like, he got his in.
Yeah, he was really twisting the screws in on him.
He was.
Which was
to the point where when Roman was running out the room, I was like, I looked at her. I was like, I'm going to be sick. Is he jumping off the balcony? Like, I started to panic. God. But he just wanted to get his ass beat. So whatever, that's his kink.
Somehow that ended up not being the worst possible outcome.
Yeah.
Which is just wild. Yeah, I wrote down a lot, but I'm just gonna do the whole conversation between Kendall and Hugo of just Big H, how you doing? And just goes on to say, you know what I mean, like the scraps will be millions, but like I need a dog, and Hugo just ends it with woof woof. Just perfect. Especially like the meaning behind it. Kendall just continuing to become this killer. The story of this single episode of him, I thought was just so good in that moment. Like, and especially because it opens with Big H, how you doing? First of all, never called him Big H. I feel like they all resent Hugo and talk shit on Hugo. So I love that he comes up with that little nickname and then just proceeds to drop basically just a missile strike in the middle of the memorial service of like, we're going after everyone, you know, like people may love you, but they fuck you. It's just like everything was just like, I was hype after it. I was like, let's go. Like, he's portraying his siblings who are all currently mourning their father. And that's what the show does to you. But I was like fucking hype about it. So my backup is, I had kind of two, but one is more because of Carl, because Carl's that guy. But when Kendall reuses Carl's dick line to Roman, I thought it was hilarious because I was just like pointing at the screen like, that's the line. That's Carl. And then because Carl knows a thing about a thing or two. And then the other one is, Carl, again, is Ewan going, you can get a little high and a little mighty when you're warm, which, first of all, I like that. And that kind of sums up Ewan's character and why he thinks the way he thinks about Logan. But I like that it cuts to Carl and Carl like, kind of rolls his eyes. Yeah. It's like, that's, fuck you.
When he goes full Dwight, he's like, okay.
Yeah. I thought that was just so perfect. Oh, and then a fourth one, because I'm going to be a sucker. It's the same thing when Kendall's like, he made me and my three siblings. And then it cuts to Caroline and she rolls her eyes too, which I thought was really funny.
The Hugo thing is interesting because at first I'm like, well, of course he's going to do this. He's indebted to him because his fucking daughter was inside trading and Kendall got rid of that for him. Right. But I actually do think that Kendall or that Big H would be like, yeah, let's fucking go. Let's ride. He's just ready to hitch his wagon onto somebody who's going to make him millions, and Kendall's promising it. So, and it's definitely not going to be Roman. Roman's always just like, to Frank's like, not my dad. He's a fuck you, Hugo. Yeah. Like every single person, if it's not Jerry, he doesn't want anything to do with it.
Hugo's just his water boy.
Yeah. And while we're talking about that, Kendall enlisting Hugo, I want to talk about, him enlisting Colin as well. I wanted to get your opinion on that, because for me, just really quickly, I didn't think that Colin would want to go for that, because Logan doesn't really like Kendall, and Colin rode for Logan hard, and Colin knows he killed a man, and Colin, you know, there's a lot of things that I was surprised that he was so like, let's ride immediately.
That's such a thing in the moment. The killing the waiter thing is something I always forget about, even though it's such a huge thing and it was such a crazy moment in the show. But yeah, I mean, the first watch, I didn't even consider that Colin was privy to that info. I did think his reaction was a little weird. Like, it was obviously like a, oh, like, haha, in the moment, you know, when you like talking to like maybe your boss and you're just like put on that customer service face and laugh and stuff, you know, that kind of shit. That's kind of what it felt like. And then he didn't look like excited or anything afterwards. So I like the look that he gave Kendall afterwards, I thought was weird. But I mean, if it works out, I like the idea of it. I mean, Kendall putting on Logan's old suit of armor, basically, and going to battle with Colin, like they said in the official podcast. I like the way they put that. I like the idea of it, but yeah, I think Kendall, it almost feels like Kendall is now forgetting that he killed someone or played a role in someone dying and it being covered up, and like forgetting that all of these people know it.
I mean, he definitely forgot in that like season 3 arc when he was on the like being a crusader, like a woke boy. Like, he absolutely also needs the face of justice and like riding the ship at Waystar. I'm like, you literally have blood on your hands, but go off, I guess. So
the juices loose, baby.
I think Colin just kind of smiled, nod, you know, he knows how to work these people and he'll figure. I mean, it was like a threat coming from Kendall. Like, why are you talking to someone? Like, what are you saying? Like, he didn't approach it in a way that was like, I'd really like to work with you because you work with my dad. He was like, why are you talking to a shrink? Which is like incredibly invasive. So I think Colin is just nodding and then is like, okay, what do I do about this?
Yeah.
There was something we've never talked about on this podcast, is an iconic scene when Alex was talking about when Kendall is storming Waystar and interrupts the big meeting and puts that song on and all that stuff.
So good.
There's a moment where Kendall is in the office and Colin just walks in and stares him down. Like, I know what you did. You're really going to come in here and do something? It's like a really good moment. That's Colin, right?
Yeah, he said, I know you. Yeah. He looked into his soul. So So maybe he knows what he's getting into, or he's just going to figure it out.
And part of me thinks that Kendall's just like, you know, this guy knew my dad, liked my dad. I need a friend. I don't have any friends right now. We can get into the Jess stuff. We can get into the Rava stuff. But in general, like, yeah, he needs a friend. He was Logan's guy. Kendall, as much as he, like, you know, whatever, his dad, he respects the hell out of him. And Colin was his guy. So I think he wants a friend. He wants who Logan had. And it would be nice for him to have Colin in his pocket because he does know about the murder. So,
yeah, I don't think it would be crazy. And again, we only have one episode, so it's tough, even though it is like an hour and a half episode. If, like, it gets revealed almost through Colin in the finale that Logan actually held Kendall in this kind of slightly higher esteem, in this similar way that we find out about Logan's backstory through Ewan, not a direct parallel, but kind of in that sense that, like, Logan would have never said it to anyone himself. So it needs to be said by other people who know, you know, I
like
don't
someone
think
he confided in. Yeah.
Yeah. They showed us that Logan kind of got that way with Colin. I mean, it was a little shocking to us because we had never really seen it before, but it makes sense, the bodyguard angle and stuff. So I don't think it wouldn't be like completely out of left field and like no basis in it if we find out that like Logan in the finale, because Reyes says to him at some point in season 2, right, like, it's you, like, it's always been you. I mean, how much does she actually know? But I think Colin saying something like that, I feel like, would hit a lot harder and would be pretty crazy for the finale.
I thought you were going to say he was going to reveal like what Kendall did, his crimes. Because I'm sitting here wondering, like, will Shiv pull that card? I don't think Roman would, but I also don't know how she could without seeming almost like an accomplice, or what is it? I don't know, like implicating herself in knowing that he admitted to this. But like, is there a way to leak? Is there a way to unearth and kind of reverse the trajectory that Logan put it on with the family? I've always wondered if any of them would play that card to win out against him.
Yeah, it would feel, I don't know, I think, like, how would you feel, do you think, if it doesn't even get mentioned in the finale?
I mean, to me, it'd be such a There's no coming back from that. They do a lot of fucked up shit to each other, but like you might risk derailing the whole thing also, right? Like, is the risk too high for the reward? I wouldn't be shocked if it didn't. And I wouldn't be like, why the fuck didn't it? You know, I think some secrets are buried. Some things are family secrets. Yeah. So, but could be interesting.
Could be interesting.
Yeah.
Really,
I think it'll come up. That's just me.
Yeah.
All right. We want to move. I mean, we obviously talk about his personal life. I mean, we're just obviously rolling with Kendall right now, right?
Yeah.
Personal life, shaky. To put it kindly.
Shaky.
To put it kindly, shaky. Like, oh my gosh.
It's so bad.
What I kind of said when I was talking about my moment is starts the episode so low. I mean, geez. Obviously, it's daddy's funeral. He's a little messed up, but he always has these... Or it seems like he always has these moments in public. It's always on the sidewalk in New York City that he just has these like very terrible conversations where he is such an asshole. And I mean, the one, I guess, is the board meeting was the first one, which is hilarious. It's obviously a bit separate from his clashes with Rava, but he just looks like such an asshole because he is an asshole. But it's just funny that it just happens on the sidewalk in front of so many people.
On one hand, you know, it is his father's funeral. Any other person in the world, if your ex-wife is taking the kids away and they don't get to go to their grandfather's funeral, I get it. I feel you. But Kendall did this. Kendall assured, and I mean, it's a presidential election, right? It's not fully Kendall's thing that the Mencken and Jimenez political battle was that close, right? But he looked at Rava and on the phone with Soph and said, listen, I got you. They're saying Jimenez, whatever. And then he had a gigantic hand in ATN spitting out it's Mencken, right? So he did this. And so you quickly get over that. You feel bad for him and say, Jesus Christ. And when he's trying to get custody, you're like, dude.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
yeah, like, buddy, you forget you have kids. Everyone's punchline for you is you forget you have children. So all the money in the world I don't think going to win on this one.
Yeah, no way. And Shiv, I mean, I don't know how much stock in a court of law, but she wrote, like, penned that open letter, essentially, that was like, he's a deadbeat father, never with his kids. Like, it's just, I mean, that's just the delusion of Kendall on full display.
Everyone knows he was a drug addict, too, which will play against him. But I mean, he'll do this thing where he ties it up in cords and he spends a bajillion dollars that Rava maybe can't. Like, he'll just, you know.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't, or he moves on to the next thing tomorrow, but he felt slighted in the moment. And I think with Jess, I wrote it down, like, he always pushes and picks. Like, people are like, let's revisit that, or don't worry. And he's like, fixate. So he freaking, his anxiety just like goes into overdrive and he fixates and pushes issues and sometimes creates them out of like nothing as well. Yeah. You know, it's, and you're right, it's always in the goddamn streets. He's out here airing his dirty laundry out in the streets.
Always. And I can understand him being like, well, now I'm thinking a million things, so I would prefer you just tell me instead of waiting till Tuesday. But then you can't get mad at her for telling you on the day. He's like, oh, today of all days, Jess, like, really, whatever. And it was like, dude, you made her tell you, like, what are you talking about? That was, I literally wrote in my notes, fuck off, Kendall. Because first of all, I mean, number one rule of Succession, don't fuck with baby girl, don't fuck with Jess.
Yeah. Big time.
Yeah,
she said baby girl out. This is too seriously. much.
Good.
And I
her,
respect
though.
That for her, I respect it.
Yeah. Happy they gave her the scene too. I liked that. It makes sense after the conversation she had with Greg last episode, being like, yo, this is happening right now, and contemplating her life. And Kendall says, you'll never get this much access anywhere else. You're being fucking dumb. This is, everyone's being fucking dumb. And he's obviously just having a temper tantrum. But sometimes you're in a situation where, yeah, you may have a lot of perks and things in your job and may get paid a lot. It's like, I will take the pay cut. I will take it.
Yeah.
Anything less so that the psychoticness and me not being linked up to this horrible, horrible thing, it's worth it to like go down a little peg for, you know, work-life balance.
I saw something hilarious that was like, Jess's LinkedIn must be like insane. Like, she must be, you know, with like presidents and politicians, like literally everything. Like, she's rubbed shoulders with so many people that she will be perfectly fine.
Plane doctors.
Yeah. The finest plane doctors in the world.
Yeah. Kendall's just only because it's right after this scene, but when he's talking to Shiv, because this is like right when he goes into church and the delusion continues, because he literally says, so many fucking money changers in the temple. You are like the richest person in the room, dude. Like, what are you talking about? Oh, he's such a clown. I love him, though.
He is. Before we probably wrap, Kendall, I want to say on the pod that Jeremy Strong's part when he gave the actress for Jess, Juliana Canfield, her flowers, I thought that was really great. I mean, he's, you know, I think he gets painted in a light that's like he's in his own world and he's just in the character and doesn't engage. So I thought that was like a very nice, surprising thing to hear from him, though. Everyone loves Jess is the moral of the story.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it's funny. It's like, you know, I can forgive him for being an asshole to pretty much everyone else. But like he was doing to Jess and I was like, ah, fuck you, dude.
Literally last episode, I was like, the only protagonist we have is Jess.
Yeah, the only one left, I feel like, that it's easy to root for. And Jerry.
And she's logging off.
And Jerry. And yeah. they're both out.
Yeah, they're both checking out. Good for them.
So Kendall, I think he's shoring up some stocks. Like, I think professionally, he's got a plan that makes it plausible for everyone who has stock in him. Yeah. Personally, he'll never have good stonks personally.
No. Personally, it's always in the gutter. But when you buy in, you accept that for sure. It's just the Mankin thing is just weird. I don't know where it's actually at. It feels like it's in a bad spot. But I feel like, again, when it's things back against the wall, Kendall kind of prevails in these type of business situations sometimes. So I could see it being a very good opportunity for him. I mean, he was like very obvious that after the funeral, like he was the one at the door, like shaking everyone's hand, like Roman was not doing that, even though Roman was doing it beforehand.
Yeah.
And it was just like everyone came up to him. So like that's all there. It's just the Mankin piece is weird.
Yeah. I think before this episode, the Mankin piece was almost assured, like after last episode, after the election and that Shiv scene happens with the Roy boys. It's brutal. You're like, damn, she just lost right then and there.
Yeah.
Like I said, Shiv walking out of that building last episode, I was like, she's walking up her stonks. I knew it. But I think the point is that it went from being a sure thing to still very plausible that Mankin goes with the Roy boys. But now the Mats and Shiv angle grew. So it's not like the stonks are down. There's no way it's going to happen. But now it's kind of like a 50-50 shot. I have no freaking idea what's
going to
happen.
Well, he's going to the board. That's his plan. So he doesn't need the government to shut it down if he can get everyone else inside to dead it. You know what I mean? So I'm not saying it could work, I'm saying he's a man with a plan and he seems like very focused. And that's when Kendall kind of can maybe make things actually happen.
We'll see, baby. All right. We want to move to Shivy the Shiv or the other CE bro.
Go CE bro.
See, bro.
I'm going to say my two quick quotes that I had from him that I didn't get to say, which is the worst incest stuff ever is, I'm pregnant. Is it mine? If I see you breastfeed, I'm going to have to jerk off. And then he says, should we bone again? It's like, no brother in the whole world makes these jokes. None. Not, we all have brothers. You are the brother. We have brothers. There's no way in the fucking world.
I can't imagine Jimmy making that joke.
Ew. No. It's so foul. Leaned into it, John Jimmy. They really lean into it like crazy now. It used to be little tiny things where he would just like make comments about maybe her having sex with someone else, which is weird enough where you're like, I don't really need to know anything about that or whole like make comments about her body. But not this, not like fully being like, should we bone again? Kid number two.
Yeah.
So I just needed to mention that because yuck, Roman. And then second is, this was in the preview for the episode that came out after last episode. And it was just the see Shivy cry, see Kenny lie, see Roman the showman light up the sky. And I was literally said to her, like, Danny Elfman wrote this, like the guy who wrote Nightmare Before Christmas. This is a Nightmare Before Christmas lyric, which I'm obsessed with. But I'm like, what kind of goofy ass, like Jesse Armstrong was really just like, I'm going to do something goofy, whimsical. I just wanted to give it props because either the way it was written plus the way Kieran Culkin like did the line read, I was really intrigued by it. And I remember saying last episode after that being the preview, like, oh my god, Roman thinks he's like he thinks he owns the world, he's on top of the world, all this stuff. And he was in the beginning, right? We can now just go right into Roman. They right in the beginning, they show Shiv watching the news and she's like all worried and concerned. And then they shift to Roman watching the same newscast in his apartment. He's just like, he's like, I'm the man. I am the man. Don't I remind you of him a little bit? Like, it's so goofy and it was great. He did great, but man, how the mighty have fallen, how the turntables.
Yeah, it was rough. It was definitely rough. And I think the line, the second line you called out, the irony of it, I think is perfect too, because it almost the exact opposite happened. Yeah. Shiv probably, well, I mean, Shiv actually was honest in that she told everyone that she was pregnant and Kendall didn't cry. He actually lit up the sky and Roman cried. So it's actually interesting that literally everything was wrong. Everything was wrong.
It's a mixed bag with them. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think last week was like the first glimmer of hope for his stocks in a while. But I think we left it on the pod, or I kept saying to you, I'm like, you think Megan's going to keep his fucking word? He doesn't need them. And people never respect these two. It's never a word kept. It's not the same, you know? Yeah. So he was, whatever he had was like, he was holding on to something, but it wasn't anything very strong. So this just, I think, cemented the L for Roman, unless something really fucking crazy happens that they're not even alluding to in the trailer.
Yeah, it is interesting that, I mean, we've talked about it before. I feel like it's kind of a common thought that Roman seems to have the best like business instincts almost, but doesn't really, obviously doesn't act in any way you would think of as a high level professional, to say the least. But yeah, it was kind of weird that, not weird, but I guess Mencken turning on them was, or not even fully turning on them, which felt kind of obvious in the aftermath. Because Kendall even says to him, like, we have no leverage. Like, if Mencken isn't on our side, there's literally nothing we can do. Like, we can't hold anything over him. Like, we already did the part that he needs, and now it's over. So, like, I don't even think I really realized it in the last episode of how much trust they were actually just really placing in him.
Yeah.
Like, he could easily just not do whatever he wants. And
they handed
already
him the election. Yeah, exactly. Like, they lost all their leverage the second they mm-hmm. like literally balked everything for him. And I don't know that he respects it. Like, obviously he's like, thank you, and I'll be on my way now. It didn't like earn him respect or anything that he felt he had to return, which is like a dangerous person generally to be in charge.
Yeah. I guess it's just classic Roy kind of entitlement and thinking overly highly of themselves, like just assuming, obviously, like, you know, we're the Roys, like he'll hold up his end of the bargain for sure, but he ain't the daddy.
He ain't. And Roman is such a masochist. Like, Logan wasn't there to beat him up after his bad day, and so he's like, let me just go and get beat up. I mean, it's a classic, it's a trope, right? It's mostly men, they fuck up in an episode, they do something, and so they provoke someone in a bar, go walk into a bunch of rioters that are specifically targeting him, you know?
Yeah.
And it's funny because it really doesn't seem like they even notice it's him, but he is provoking them, and he's like, you don't know anything, you have no idea. It was hard to watch, and me and Al, like we said earlier, we were a little scared, but as soon as he was outside, we were like, okay, I thought he was gonna walk in front of a bus. I didn't know what was gonna happen. Jeez. I was really scared, but Roman songs are definitely down, but good on Kieran Culkin. Really good performance. Unfortunately, I don't know how Roman would turn it around at this point. So I basically, what Kendall's saying, doubling down, is being like, does Mencken just think Roman's a pussy now because of how he was weeping? Like, he calls him, what is he calling, like tiny tears or something like that. So like, he basically was like, this is who I'm backing. This is who my guy's going to be. Tiny Tears, Roman Roy, nah. But he was smiling at Kendall, so, and they are the Roy boys. So it was very interesting. I'm not sure. But in the same vein of, I don't want to switch to Shiv yet, but in the same vein where Mencken, it's like, can we trust him? And it's also Mattson saying, I think I'm all right with the U.S. CEO. It's like, okay, well, say it's Shiv. Get it on paper. You know, I don't know that it's Shiv.
It ain't.
Yeah.
Right, that's gonna be the biggest gag, but it's too good of a thing for any of them to have that sealed of a deal, essentially. But I think Mencken sees a little bit in Kendall in that speech, like, oh, I relate to that, like the delusional guy is jumping out, and he's like, oh yeah, like visions of grandeur, love that. For me, love that's the kind of guy I can rally with, you know.
It was so pro capitalism, pro corporation, pro, you know what I mean, like doing things by the force of your own will, just because, you know, you want to and have that ambition. And yeah, that totally aligns.
Anyone can do it. Anyone can. We're all positioned to just do that.
Yeah, okay. That totally aligns with Mencken. I mean, like I said, I guess at the top of the show, like with the crowd shots, like his smile was just so like little devilish impish, you know, just like knew that he's like a motherfucker, why he was appreciating Kendall's speech so much.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Okay. Do we now want to move to Shiv? I mean, Roman, professionally and personally, he obviously is just in a terribly rough spot. Very, very, very tough episode for him.
Yeah.
And sorry to Kathleen's investment in him.
No. Mine.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yours.
Got the best boy.
True.
I invested in the best boy.
True.
Like I said, I didn't even want to win if it's him after last week. So
I forgot.
You know?
Yeah, I'm in a good place. Baby boy Kendall Roy.
Yeah. Good for you. Oh, okay. Shiv.
Shiv. She's up, baby.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I would say for sure. I was nervous in the church when she's dealing with Mattson so much because I was just like getting this like, oh man, she's so wildly overconfident again. Like, is she pushing these buttons correctly? Is she going too hard? And I'm curious to get your guys' take on her eulogy.
Well, I, for one, of course, because I'm a Shiv stan, I was hoping that Shiv got the big speech. Kendall, of course, was going to get the speech, right? We weren't surprised by that. But when they were taking care of Roman in the moment, all four of them, or all three of them taking care of him, I wasn't sure who was going to walk up. Of course, it's not Connor, even though he had one written down. But for legal reasons, I guess not. But I wanted it to be Shiv. I'm glad she got her piece. And it was good. I don't think it had anything to do with business. You know, it wasn't for her business interests. Whereas Kendall's can be taken, like you said, with Mencken or whoever, to be like, damn, what a badass. Okay, let's go. Shiv really, I think, just wanted to get up and do a eulogy. And since Ewan, like, you know, fucked Logan so hard, she wanted to show the other side and say her piece, at least say goodbye to Logan. I really liked it. I mean, the whole point is like, it was hard being his daughter. He couldn't see a whole woman. I mean, you get the four of them sitting right there in the front row that know it well. So I thought it was really good. I wanted her to have the triumphant one, though. But of course, got to be Kendall.
What'd you call the ladies? The wives and side pieces?
Oh, no, the brunette quartet.
Oh, that's good.
Thank you.
That's very good.
You didn't say it earlier, and I was displeased.
That was my other moment, by the way. If it wasn't going to be Shiv and Tom, it was going to be that.
It was iconic. It was. What was I going to say? Oh, there was one weird part with Shiv's thing that was, I don't know if I could classify it as businessy, but when Kendall comes down, she's like, okay, like, you didn't say the office thing. And like, we have to, like, it was part of their narrative. And I don't know what that is other than like, we've been in the vicinity and we listened in and it's family, pick a Roy. Like, it was a little bit careerist in that way, but I mean, in my executive summary, I felt it was mostly a goodbye, but I think she got up there with the intent of like needing to say that part for whatever fucking reason. They think that's a sell. I don't know that he comes out and yells at you and tells you to fuck off. Like, I don't know how that's a sell, but I did find that part a little interesting and kind of questionable in her motives.
Yeah. I think maybe the show has given me some brain worms in how I interpret it, because I totally thought it like she like saw how well Kendall did and felt like threatened almost.
Honestly, maybe.
Yeah. And it just, I mean, like obviously some very great lines that she made, some good points. It's just funny that, like, again, if you take it, boil it down, like she jumped up there and was basically like, my dad was a terrible sexist.
So she bombed it. She fucked it. That's as well.
What
it,
like, and like, yeah, I mean, that's just what it felt like to me when I first watched it. I just thought it was funny because I was just like, obviously there's an emotional part to it. She wants to say some things and she wants to eulogize her father, but it felt like it came off to me just with the looks on her eyes. I texted you guys while watching, like, so many Sarah Snook looks in this episode. Like, she throws so many different faces around and it's up to us to interpret them. And I was totally interpreting her looks as like feeling a little threatened by Kendall and feeling like she had to also get up there and show something.
The one I'm thinking of is when Kendall says, well, I hope it's in me, when he says the thing about like all the things about him. And he's like, well, I hope that's in me. And Shiv was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the moment. And another Shiv look really quick is when Tom's talking to her about the baby or whatever. And I forget what it was, but she looks at him and then starts rolling her eyes kind of. And then is like, oh, you're really exhausted. Cause he starts like weeping. Cause he's like, I'm sorry, I couldn't be here. And she was like, it's fine. And just like gives a little like eyes rolling back of her head. And then she kind of pulls it back a little bit because she saw he was like really hurting. But yeah, let's just talk Shiv. business, because I feel like I was giving her props last episode for being like, at least she's on the good side. She wants Jimenez and whatever. And now she's just like, who the fuck cares as long as I'm on top?
Yep. Yep.
It's brutal. Literally, shit, man. Exactly. She doesn't give a shit.
That is exactly where she's at right now. I want to respect our audience is what, yeah. You know, the PC way she said it, but she doesn't give a fuck. And I mean, hey, the brothers obviously don't give a fuck. And she's fighting for that same spot that they are. So, I mean, in her mind, she's got to fight the way they fight.
Maybe she's playing the long con, right? You got to get in there now or never. And maybe after that, you can fix things. Maybe. Yeah. But who's to fucking say? But yeah, I think that it's evident that they're all, you know, attempting the killer instinct that Logan thinks none of them had, right? Or at least he didn't think Kendall had. And to me, that is Shiv's ultimate shedding of like... They're all like kind of shedding their own identities, whatever they sort of cultivated, to attempt to embody him and in the best way, because that's the only person that could take that place, as someone who can take on the like lack of fucks given, but also giving them in the right place, I guess, for lack of a better phrase.
Yeah. I mean, she like the numbers advice that she gives of like drop it now, I mean, feels obvious, but like, nailed it. Like, that was good. Like, she was making moves that worked out really well. I mean, she did great. It was very smooth in how she got Mencken away from everyone else. Like, that was so smooth when she rolled in there and she got, you know, the face to face with Mattson. And I feel like she has consistently shown Mattson that she's capable. He's just doesn't seem like it's gonna matter to him so much, which is tough for her.
Yeah, agreed. It's weird because I genuinely think he does respect her opinion and like her, but then who knows? But I remember, I think Kyle was the one who said in the episode 7, the pre-election, the tailgate party, you were saying that maybe, or you, I don't know, said that.
Come on.
I think it was Kyle.
I give everybody the look.
I think it was Kyle.
I'm celebrating over
here. You thought maybe Ebba was personally... Or not personally.
Oh, purposely
dropping information to Kendall and them, just whatever. Yeah. But in this episode, Ebba is a narc. Ebba is the one who told Hugo, who told Kendall that they had an in. So Ebba feels actually bad, like full bad. But I mean, again, it can always be that. But why would Mattson want Kendall and Roman to know that? The plan, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe she really snapped at that party, right? She's the double agent now, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Which is perfectly fine. I mean, either storyline, I think, with her, again, I'm just so nervous. And not really, it's not even really nervous. It's just, there's only one episode left.
Well, and also, anytime anyone gets an upper hand, it's swiftly gone, right? I think we always have apprehension. We're like, we want to cheer them on, but we know to like hedge our bets because the other shoe will drop, so to speak. It keeps happening time and time again. So it seems too good to be true, right? If it seems that way, then it absolutely is for any of them, particularly Shiv. But I think she's really good at optics. She's good at the narrative, and she can make good calls when she's not like feeling backed against the wall or like, she's being disrespected, or you know what I mean? Yeah. She's pushing for like from her ego. Like when she lets all that go, she's playing the long game. It seems to be working. But yeah, I think Mattson just doesn't give a shit. Doesn't give a shit if Ebba leaks things, doesn't give a shit if it's Shiv. He just wants money. He just wants his fucking money. And like whatever, he'll nod and smile his way to that.
Yeah.
Like they all will, I guess.
Pussy pasta privacy, baby. That's really all that matters. And I think he cares a lot. Maybe not cares a lot, but he's totally going to, I think, use the pregnancy as an excuse.
Yeah.
Which is very unfortunate for her, because if that was not happening, I feel like she would be killing it right now.
Wonder how he found out exactly. I mean, it's so funny when the mom and her are just speaking in looks and she's like, blimey, well, oh, okay. And then I think Shiv says like, thank you. And Carolyn goes, exactly. Like, it's so funny. The conversation was great. And even later when Shiv turns it on her mom and is like, you don't like have to spend time with them. They don't, you know, like,
I'll raise it the family way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nice little dig.
Mattson probably knows from Greg, because Greg knows everything from Tom, and Greg's like double dipping in the Mattson pool. Oh, yeah. He's working every angle. He's Gregging overtime right now,
really,
in overdrive.
That is exactly what he is doing. It's so interesting. There's so much. Now I'll save it until we get to talk about Greg. But
there's like a lot of trust, or just like not as much carefulness with things in this group that is kind of like crazy to me. Like, you know, yes. Like trust is currency, but like people have never really earned it. But also they keep sharing information with each other and not like double checking, like proceeding with caution. And I just find that very interesting. Again, maybe it's that like privilege thing and like kind of just thinking that you have it in the bag, or that like people are on your side. And again, I might be from an ego perspective, but I have found that interesting. It's like, when you learn to stop telling stuff to Greg, or when you learn like shoo him away, like I don't know.
I try.
I mean, we've talked about Tom kind of combined with Shiv for most of the season, do the same thing here. I wrote that of like, I feel like Tom trusts Greg too much, which feels weird to say at this point, but I mean, he sends him to the funeral and Greg's just, you know, obviously maneuvering for himself at the funeral. Like, he doesn't care about Tom when he's out there, like looking for the face to face with Mankin, like with the Mattson stuff. Like, Greg's done the Mattson stuff for himself. Greg is in with Mattson a little bit. I mean, Mattson thinks he's a joke, but whatever. Like, Tom has gotten no benefit out of Greg and via Mattson.
It's all these people underestimating the people under them, right? Like, giving them access and then just assuming that they will have their back. Greg, Ebba, like all of that. They think that they're above them betraying them, and it really doesn't even occur to them, I don't think. And they think that these people are incapable of doing something that will really jeopardize what their plan, which is just like Shiv, the way Shiv was so like flippant with Greg last episode and just didn't take it seriously. Example. It's just like they're undermining these people or underestimating them, and they are, I don't know, maybe they'll come out on top. Who's to say?
Greg?
My mom put on the board that it's Greg, so let
I've
it be known.
I've seen so much. What the I've seen a lot out there that people think that's how it's going to end.
That's psychotic.
That, like, he'll be basically the U.S. CEO that Mattson picks.
I'll throw up and my mom will
just
win.
Like an easy puppet.
I was trying to think of, was that this episode or last episode when Greg walks up and Mattson just goes like, hey, sexy, or something
this
like
episode. I mean, literally say Greg starts talking and then interrupts and goes, thank you. And then keeps going. I thought it was so funny.
Wow, that might be true. And that sucks.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
People, I mean, there's some fairly convincing out there that it's either Tom or Greg. I feel like people were like Tom from the Mankin perspective of he's kind of been involved in the company. He's obviously wants to suck up to Mankin. He's very, you know, servile. It's in his nature to serve. Mattson, I think, knows that a little bit as well, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had the interaction at the election party where he's like, you're basically sucking up to me, or like he calls him a brown noser and all that kind of stuff. So I could see that being the conversation that, you know, he's the puppet that like they just install. Obviously, that's if Mankin agrees and goes along and that kind of stuff. So if that ends up being the road the show takes, I don't think it's crazy that, you know, Tom or God forbid Greg ends up on top. Greg feels too like brand broken, though.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
And I feel like HBO would be nervous, like if they got that script and was like, so it's Greg. Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't think they would stop them necessarily, but I feel like I could already picture the memes of Greg's head on Bran's body.
I trust them.
Yeah, I agree.
If they made it Greg, I would trust them for it to be in some like insane way, you know. But two Greg things, really. Telling his mom to shut up. We haven't seen her since the pilot, I don't think. But telling his mom to shut up, he is such like a 10-foot tall toddler. Like, it's shut up, mom, like whatever. And then after all of that, telling him to stop, you and all this stuff, being like his bodyguard to not let him walk up or whatever, he's like, that was a good hard take you gave. Like, he's such a fucking kiss ass. And then, but like, it made me laugh because in a previous season, Ewan like cuts him off for Greenpeace, and then he goes to his lawyers or whatever, and he says like, "Oh, no matter what, I'll get $5 million." And Tom's like, "You can't live on $5 million. $5 million is the worst," or whatever. And I was like, "He wants that $5 million so bad." Like,
he does.
It's, I mean, like, good hard take.
$5 million would be more than enough, I feel like. But
Gregging for the $5 million.
Yeah.
Jesus. Okay. I guess, I mean, personal side though with Tom and Shiv. Felt like a productive conversation. I'm not sure.
They're back.
I feel like the way she was looking at him, I even wrote it down. I was like, oh my God, I like feel like she's
like madly in love with this man. Like just the way she was looking at him, I was like, holy, I don't know if I'm misinterpreting this, but I'm feeling it.
They might just stick on that roller coaster, those two, both addicted to it. You know what I mean?
Toxic.
Yeah. Unless he gets picked, and then I think she'll be like, I'm taking baby and sending it from this world. Fuck you. I'm
just shooting it to the moon. No, I think they're linked together. She's going to have this baby. This is my call for the finale. She's going to have the baby. They're linked together. It may not always be great. It may only be great one more time for the rest of time, but they'll be together for forever, I think. I really
another
do think that.
Another example of the show giving me brainworms is when Tom like rubs his face after she says like, oh, you're exhausted. Like he uses the wedding ring hand. And I was like, oh, is he doing that on purpose to like flash the wedding ring to like get some more subconscious sympathy? I was like, I don't know if I'm reading that too hard or.
That's pretty good. I would never notice that. I never notice wedding rings.
No, but they're all playing a game. So you're right. you know what I mean? It's like they're all, what's the strategy? Was that a strategy? Yeah, even was if it a play?
Maybe wasn't conscious for him. I'm sure it was like almost subconscious. He's like, you know, he has to make that play.
Can we pivot to, not to cut you off, Kai, it's a Shiv quote that I just really liked. It was like one of the few funny ones is when she looks at Peter and he's like, he spoke of you often. You were one of his favorites. Like Shiv says that. It's so good. So stupid. Like Peter is such a
nobody.
But then that could pivot us into the mom. The mom had so many great scenes. Caroline's so good. And we're watching her on Silo right now, which is another great show. Yes. And it's great. But and we cover Silo. Go check us out. But all of the Caroline, Marsha, all of that was so good. Marsha with the, he broke my heart and he broke your hearts too. It was just ripping me to shreds. And the Sally Ann stuff of it all. It was the brunette quartet. Giving Carrie this moment was everything to me. Everything to me. Marsha holding her hand. I don't know why it really made that your moment that hyped you up earlier. This was my Super Bowl. I was like, let's go. Your Hugo moment was my Carrie moment for sure.
It was wild to see. And I'm so glad that they did that. Caroline is such an interesting character. It's almost a shame that she's not in the show more, but maybe it's better that she's not because her moments hit harder because they're a bit rare.
Yeah. God, Logan would hate this. But then he's like, at least he won't be grinding his teeth tonight. And that's something they would all be like, yeah, actually.
No,
we do remember that about him.
I'm shocked we like didn't get the Marsha revenge. And maybe it's not over yet, but I really thought she was going to pull out something for her son, threaten what she knows about Kendall. She also knows this. So it ain't over. So maybe next episode is really trying to shore up the Gojo deal. Maybe talking more Will stuff. I don't know. There's got to be some bow tying in some regards.
I feel like she kind of already wrapped up her son stuff. I want to say almost when Logan was like hiding out in whatever country he was in.
They did, but this would be her opportunity to get more.
In fact, I mean, she already got 62 out of my boy, Connor Roy.
Let's talk about him.
Yeah, let's get it. I get it. I understand. It just hurts my heart. He just deserves a bigger role in the show. It just makes me sad watching him like get pushed to the side by the three Wonder Kids. It's just tough. I mean, he wrote the speech. It's a great little funny moment, but like he wrote a speech. Like he had a speech ready to go. And in the moment when it was like Roman can't do the speech, he offered the pen that Kendall asked for instead of like really pushing to give his own speech that he had already had written. And that's just my boy Connor Roy, dude, the real dad. The real Roy dad. And it when they're at the mausoleum and he's like, Pop never showed you this? Like all that kind of stuff. He knows the background behind all of it. Like I fucking love Connor.
That made my like a light bulb go up too. Just that moment when he's like, what? You don't like Logan showed him all of these weird things like you know what I mean that none of these kids knew about. It's almost as if he knew Connor would have to be the one to do all the logistics of this bullshit because Connor planned the whole damn thing.
Yep.
And he wrote a speech and yet they wouldn't let him do it even when Roman shit the bed and he's the only one who had one written down. It's just so sad. And Will, I forget what Willa says, but again, only one line in the whole thing and she's just riding for Connor. She's like, this is how we chose is why we did it. Like or something like that. It's so good. I love Willa. She looked so good this episode. Her hair is really good.
Another thing too is that Connor, Shiv never told Connor that she's pregnant.
I know. He got fucked out of that too because Connor would probably cry.
Yeah, I mean, he'll eventually learn, but like he, you know, wasn't dignified with the
with the news from right from Shiv's mouth. So just another thing to add on of Connor Roy was interested in politics from a young age.
And he does slide in there to try to talk Slovenia. And I was like, yeah, there you go, Connor. Fucking muscle your way in there, dude.
I love his shamelessness, too. Greg's being shameless in that scene with Mencken. And then he's like, no worries. I got this. No, no, we're good. We're good. And just keep sliding in. Yeah. And the cryogenic line was great because, of course, he was interested in cryogenics at a very young age.
So perfect. But I couldn't say no to a top bunk.
Well, that's a thing. It's so funny. It's like those four bunks. I'm like, are those for the kids or are those for the four girlies?
Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny. They're could for the girlies.
Top bunk.
They're for the
they can
girlies.
Flip a coin, the groups. They can flip a coin.
I don't think anyone wants to live in there.
That was clear. That was clear from their discussion.
Yeah, I mean, Roman wouldn't even go in. My take with Connor, since this was my investment before the season, is that I'm slightly disappointed, and we obviously still have an episode left, and we'll see what happens in that episode, but I'm not holding out hope at this point or holding my breath for that, like, watershed Connor's our real dad moment. But I feel like it's not been explicitly said, but I feel like they've done a lot to show us. And I feel like it showed up a lot in this episode with him planning the funeral, stepping to the side, letting Kendall kind of do the speech. He's right there with the pen, all that kind of stuff. It just, I feel vindicated in my thoughts about it. I just wish it was more obvious for everyone so that everyone could be like, yeah, Connor's the real dad, like for sure. And I would be like, yeah, I was talking about that. But I'm feeling good about it, but I don't think in terms of the market, I don't think the market's where they should be on Connor. So maybe I'm saying that he's undervalued going into the finale and you should scoop up some shares.
I think you are saying that. That's
good.
Yeah,
I think I am. I think I am.
I think this is your living plus moment for Connor. You're trying to reposition and just grow the market cap on Con.
Dude, Con to the moon, baby. Let's go.
Yeah,
we're going supersonic out in Slovenia.
Fuck. Quick one, Jerry, Stockholm Syndrome line. So good. So funny. If we want to talk about the henchmen anymore.
Oh, just love them just chatting it up at the funeral.
Love it.
Just a great love scene. It. I'm going to miss it for sure.
How about Shiv asking Carl and Frank?
Like, oh, yeah. Weird
how
scene.
Bad was dad? What weird do you think? Scene, do you think she was just looking to people who honestly spent more time with him and knew him longer and whatever to be like, tell me how he really was in a moment of purely personal, nothing else, just wanting to know for her own conscience, how was he? And I honestly think Carl liked him. Like, I do think Carl says he misses him earlier, which seemed like sarcasm, but they call him a salty dog, but he's a good egg. You know, you get what you get.
Yeah, whatever the fuck Frank says. I agree. I literally wrote down that quote and said, what did she think she was going to get out of that question? Like,
I was wondering if she thought it was worse, but like, would they even say that to her face outside of his discount mausoleum? I don't know. But to your point, I mean, she was just in the crypt being like, well, and get to know him, you know, for eternity, you know, actually get to know him. So maybe it was also partly that. I don't think it was anything businessy, but I think it was an interesting moment to be sure.
Yeah, I guess I assumed it was for an angle in some sense, but that makes sense that it wouldn't be with the context of the scene.
The brainworms of the show, right? We're always kind of thinking that or thinking the worst, but I do think sometimes there is it's just people being people. It's the human thing, as Kendall said. I think that is more prevalent sometimes than we realize it, or maybe the motive isn't so business oriented, but it plays for them. So it's all deeply intertwined.
No doubt. I agree.
No doubt.
It's going to be weird not having the brainworms after next week, but my parting shot will be Mencken's Kinder Küche Kirche line to Shiv, which obviously is German and it means children, kitchen, church. So basically he's saying that, like, she's, you know, a woman and that's all she's good for. So obviously very
purposeful.
I looked
it up right before, and I said, oh,
damn.
Yeah,
I knew it was bad. I knew it wasn't good, but I just wanted to make sure it wasn't like a Nazi saying again. I was like, I don't know what's happening.
So who says that? Mencken or Madsen?
Mencken says that to Shiv. He calls her that, basically.
When Madsen's like, and an American CEO, and like looks at Shiv and he's like, oh, you? And then says that line, which I think is meant to be a bit derogatory in German.
Yeah,
as well.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, it felt like it was like, oh, the one who's supposed to be in the kitchen tending the children.
Yep.
Like, it obviously ain't going to be her. I don't think Shiv understood that that's
what he said, but yikes, whatever. That was just my parting shot to get it out there. Mencken's obviously a piece of shit. So I just, the internet has been funny of like just saying like this guy obviously caught all the Easter eggs in Mein Kampf that Ravenhead might have missed, which is just a callback to an amazing scene of Tom and Ravenhead. So that's just funny.
My parting shot is that, you know, we know from interviews and things that for the final episode, there was at least a part of parts of the episode, right? Maybe the end chunk or whatever it is. There was a small group that went off somewhere to do it. So I assume it's just like the Roy kids and whoever else. And they make a quick comment about Caroline when they're in the limo and they say like Caribbean air clear with mom or something like that. And I don't think they're going to go to the Caribbean, but it made me think like, oh, maybe they do go somewhere, maybe with her, maybe with some, whatever it is, maybe post madness that whatever happens in this episode, maybe they do go somewhere for a will reading or for something. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, okay, finale, like where is that, at least the smaller scenes that were shot over that weekend or week or whatever that only a certain cast and crew were there for, what's that? So maybe, I don't know. I was just thinking of what it could be, and that was like a little throwaway line. And I thought maybe it wasn't throwaway. Who's to say? Oh, no,
that's good. I also love the it from like the real world perspective of like getting the finale to be like a remote location with just like the core cast. Like that feels like a very fun send off as well. Like for the actual actors, that seems like a really fun idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I like it. I love a good will reading, though. I'll tell you that right now.
Me too, man.
If we don't get a will reading, I'm going to be a little upset because I think Logan Roy's will has just like is content. That is just pure content, and I need it in my life.
Yeah, I'm sure he left some really nice sentiments behind for everybody.
You would hope so.
Yeah, no other parting shot. My parting shot was going to be that my mom picked Greg, but we already got into that. So
shout out, mom.
It's a plot twist. You know, maybe she knows things we don't. We'll see.
Hey, baby. Egg prices have been going through the roof, so Greg's are on top. Price is going to keep going up. Okay. That's episode 9, Church and State. I remembered now. Penultimate, second to last. Get to the finale. Almost there. Another one. Yeah, all right. Kathleen will be back next week with our executive summary. Three of us will be back, obviously, with our favorite moments, favorite quotes, all of the above. Just what a ride it's been. One more party, maybe two more parties. We'll see if we can get more people on like a full season, full show episode.
Yeah.
Obviously, more of us at Binge Town. I guess if you're only familiar with the Succession podcast, there are 7 total members of Binge Town. Alex technically is a friend of the pod, an all-star guest of the pod. So there are more of us and more people have been watching Succession. So maybe we get a bunch of people on just to chat, do a little roundtable, top characters, top moments, yada, yada, yada. All these types of things. Don't want to guarantee it. We're really bad with guaranteeing future plans. I mean, we said before this season that we would do like maybe 2 episodes and we've done one every week. So we'll see what happens. But as always, if you like what you heard, please subscribe on whatever you're listening on or watching on. BingeTownTV.com is the home of BingeTown. Go check it out for all of the shows that we've been doing. Right now, we're working on Silo. Yellow Jackets is also sadly going to end next week with Succession. It won't be a series finale. It'll just be a season finale. So that's a little bit to keep our tears inside our tear ducts. Maybe we'll see what happens. And what else are we doing? I don't even remember.
Barry series finale as well next week.
Oh, true.
Big Sunday for HBO. Tyler and I will be covering maybe Paul if we could get Paul. He's just a busy man.
Night shift Paul.
He's got night shift Paul. We are going to do a full season and honestly a full series coverage on the rest of season 4. Go check out our 1 through 4 episodes. Yeah.
Yeah. And no one's probably listening at this point. So if you are, I love you.
I love you.
Thanks for listening.
Roy boys, Shiv the Shiv. Who's whoop. It going to be?
Whoop, whoop.
Fuck off.
Whoop, whoop. Bitch.
All right.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.